Welcome to the Northumberland Settlement Podcast, the only settlement podcast in Southeast Ontario focusing on immigration news, stories of success, and music. In each episode, your hosts, Rosa and Emilio, will have updates for you on the latest immigration news with guest speakers and music from their countries. And now, your hosts, Rosa and Emilio.
Welcome to Northumberland Settlement Podcast. In today's podcast, Rosa and I will be interviewing Dan Vorowiec, Director of Economic Development, Planning and Strategic Initiative at Northumberland County. And later in today's podcast, I will be talking about immigration news and information relevant to our newcomers community. Dan Vorowiec is the Director of Economic Development, Planning and Strategic Initiative at Northumberland County. He has an extensive experience in community and economic development, as well as post-secondary education as a faculty, senior administration, and board of governors and chair, actively involved in multiple roles with various organizations, including Workforce Development Board, the Ontario Association of Community Futures Development Corporations, Ontario East Economic Development Commission, and the Rural Ontario Institute. He is also committed to the work of Habitat for Humanity. Welcome, Dan.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
So, Dan, we would like to start with the human aspect of the interviewer. You know, this catch normally our interviewers out of, they don't know what to say. No, we would just want to know the human aspect of, in this time, Dan Vorowiec. Who is Dan Vorowiec?
All right. Well, other than an old Ukrainian, I guess I'm, as you're probably aware, I'm Director of Economic Development, Planning, Strategic Initiatives for the County of Northumberland. I've been a Northumberland resident for almost 35 years, so I've invested a fair amount of time in community. I generally live through my work. So if you're looking for an extensive list of hobbies or other interests, they all seem to circulate back to some extension of what I do, and that's probably maybe evident in some of the activities that make the type of work we do, and with your support as well, a bit unique in the world of economic development, because sometimes it's far more about trying to develop a community than it is about trying to just simply attract a business. So that's sort of part and parcel of who I am and what I value and why I do this.
It sounds familiar, Dan. I'm sorry, Rosa, but Dan and I probably are the same. We found one individual looking for a second and make a group.
That's right.
And Dan, we know that you are, your family came from Europe, specifically from Ukraine.
That's correct.
So can you tell us a little bit what are your feelings and your view about what is happening? And also tell us a little bit about the activities or the plans about Ukrainians in Northumberland.
Certainly. Maybe just for just some context or a bit of background, my father came to Canada in 1947 as a displaced person. He was born in near Lviv, which is now part of the Ukraine, but at the time, the Polish-Ukrainian border was always somewhat fluid. And so in 1941, he was he became forced labor. And so from 1941 to 1945, he was in West Germany worked as farm labor in West Germany. He always considered himself very, very fortunate because in his particular case, he worked for an individual who was a devout Lutheran and was also devoutly against war. And so his treatment was compared to some of his other friends that were in a similar situation was far different. So I think in many ways it made him a far more compassionate person given the circumstances. Anyway, when the war ended, he spent a couple of years in a displaced persons camp, and in 1947 he immigrated to Canada on a work permit, which meant that he ended up for his first 9 months as a lumberjack northwest of Thunder Bay, and then the other 3 months were worked off in a factory setting in Orillia. He became a Canadian citizen in 1954. My mother's parents were immigrants as well, who arrived in northern Ontario in the early 1900s. My mother was actually born in Canada. She was born just outside of Sudbury. The timing on this interview is quite timely, I guess is the word. I was just in Halifax last week, and I went to Pier 21, where I had the opportunity to garner some information regarding my father's landing there. And it's interesting. One of the documents was a photocopy of his possessions, which included three pairs of socks, two shirts, one pair of pants, and a suitcase full of books. And so, that's how life began there. I guess with what's happening in Ukraine at the moment, you know, you have a country with an extremely high literacy rate, a highly educated population, and a country who's being, you know, torn apart by a foreign invader, so to speak. And so it's heartbreaking in so many ways. I know the work that we've, especially through Emilio's efforts in terms of trying to acclimatize new arrivals who are from the Ukraine here, sort of symbolizes some of the challenges. It must be from their perspective, it must be incredibly hard to not just come with, you know, a suitcase full of books and some odd clothing, but rather come as an educated individual or an educated family and have, you know, everything that you've worked for to reach a certain point come to naught, and then arrive here and rely on the goodwill and kindness and of those around you. The most recent event that we held certainly provided, I think, those individuals with an indication of what some of the support systems are and what's available. And in many cases, I was quite taken by the individual who was brand new in a role talking about the opportunities related to mental health, because I think the situation in Ukraine is one that is probably inconceivable or very, very difficult to actually believe that this is happening for no valid reason whatsoever. So we're trying the best we can to try and, you know, acclimatize folks. Hopefully there'll be some sort of negotiated end to this, to the war. But it's a challenging situation. It's difficult to know how to help.
It is, and it is hard for everybody. I'm going to come back to the Ukraine situations in Northumberland later, But I know the economic development has a master plan, and in that master plan, there is a caveat or an addition of newcomers. So, will you tell us what newcomers can do for the economic development master plan in the county?
Certainly. You know, the development plan was struck, the strategic economic development plan was struck in 2017. And so it was meant to be both aspirational and visionary and practical. And certainly the development of a settlement services portfolio and function was a critical piece, because it had always been our contention, at least in our within our department, that in order to create economic development, we needed to welcome a diverse and workforce looking for opportunities and looking for the kind of supports that could make them either entrepreneurial or make them integral to various activities that currently existed in Northumberland, whether it be in the public sector or in the private sector, to try and change Northumberland in a positive way, in a way that suggests that as much as Northumberland welcomed new Canadians in the late 1940s or the early 50s, or how we welcomed Syrian refugees, or go back from there to you know, Cambodian refugees, or you name the group, the intent has always been that with every new wave of immigration, there is a better Canada created, a better Northumberland created, in my mind, by creating a broader scope of understanding of who and what we are. I mean, let's be quite honest, we're all boat people. Only our Indigenous people are first up. But for anyone who claims to be just a Canadian, recognized that to be just a Canadian is to have gotten here just like the rest of us. You know, so regardless of country of origin, that's in many ways, always remember where you came from. So,
that's true.
You know, it's important in that plan that recognition of every wave that's come through has made a huge contribution to the well-being of community. So that's what's, in my mind, exceptionally important, and that's why it's in there. And that not only comes from being the son of an immigrant, but recognizing that that's the nature of what our country was built on. So very integral, new ideas, new ways of doing things, an openness to take risk, and think about anyone who is a newcomer here thinking, you know, I am a stranger in a strange land, but I'm willing to undertake the risk. You know, it's interesting. There's a quote from Winston Churchill, who certainly had his own challenges with respect to different nationalities. But one of his comments was that the greatest human characteristic is courage, because courage allows you to do all the other things that you think you can do.
You know? Exactly.
Courage allows you to dream, you know.
Exactly.
So that's the nature of that plan.
One of the important points in this master plan also is creating diversity and inclusion. How Northumberland County is doing this, and also how will attract more newcomers to Northumberland?
Well, I think from a diversity perspective, I think what we've tried to do from a settlement services position is just to begin to create awareness, and also to begin to create awareness in terms of how, you know, in particular federal legislation, is geared towards that being a priority, a policy priority. And in doing so, potentially Emilio and his role and the relationships that he's built with various cultural communities. And I'm hoping I can say this on your podcast, or you can edit it out, Emilio, being a pain in the backside of individuals because sometimes you have to be in order to create awareness. And what we're asking of community is to recognize that this is one of the most important things they can do by showing respect for anyone who is a newcomer and any type of and anybody who's a newcomer, any cultural group or any organization that potentially doesn't represent the norm of what everyone has gotten used to, but rather what the norm will become. And so so anything we can do to continue to be that voice is important. And more we try and find some unique ways of doing that. This podcast is a good example, you know. A lot of work went into soliciting the federal and provincial support to create a settlement services position, and it is repaying itself tenfold over. It's at a time when, you know, after this current provincial election, where one of the priorities is workforce development or workforce renewal, we're a primary function in that, and that's one of the ways it can be accomplished. And so that, some sensitivities to what makes up a culturally diverse group, is a big part of what we're trying to do as well. It's all about respect, you know, and earning some respect both ways. So that's one step in it. You might want to think about the way we're doing this now is sort of church and state. Somebody has to throw it out there that all of this can happen, and then the state has to actually do the work. So, Emilio, I hate to consider myself church, but really, that's how we've kind of worked this as church and state. You know?
Well, yes.
If I can get everybody looking up skyward, you know, and thinking there is something up there, and they all look up there, we eventually have to make something out of that. So, church and state.
Yeah, definitely. So that means that you know, the county sees the newcomers like a driving force for the economy, right?
It does. And let us remember too that a number of the newcomers that we are attracting also have some of the fiscal and human resource and intellectual capacity to establish businesses that are completely in line or add to our commercial or industrial base in a way that benefits all of us. So, you know, I think that's an important thing to note with in terms of economic development. Economic development does not exist as a standalone. It requires all of its moving parts. So whether it's planning or settlement services or entrepreneurship, it's all interrelated. One does not distinguish itself from the other. So it's a key element.
Yeah, true. Rosa?
Yes. Something interesting also at least from what I in my view and probably for many listeners is can you explain briefly how the county is working and planning also the few challenges also that we you was talking initially about, for example, housing and also transportation, all these elements.
But by all means, it really it really is a circle. There's no start point and there's no end point in some of this, because in attracting newcomers to the community, there has to be attainable housing. There has to be somewhere to live, and in particular as a start point, at a cost that's affordable to those individuals. So we list our priorities at this point in time. The first one is the one that's gotten the most attention of late has been connectivity, and in terms of trying to provide high speed fiber to the home connectivity for individuals who decide to make Northumberland home. And in our case, of our 40,000 households, 13,500 are either unserved or underserved. And so in terms of trying to attract individuals to Northumberland, especially I think if we start looking at the opportunities associated with newcomers and new Canadians, that ability to connect through broadband connectivity is essential, because for many of them, running a business from here, if they are connected, can be done and accomplished. Language becomes far less a barrier. And so do some of the other challenges that normally accompany this, including transportation. And so that was a big step for us. Attainable housing is really something that, collectively and departmentally, we're turning our full attention to from a departmental perspective, because we need some sort of continuum of housing where, from whether it be a starter home to alternative attainable housing opportunities, in order to ensure that newcomers actually remain here.
That is a very important point, and yes, that's one of the big challenges we have. If I compare with Peterborough in this case, Dan, Peterborough has a ton of new development right now on the make.
Yep.
But there are high price market, high price duels and dwellings. So, but we need a mix of them. We need low income, mostly housing. So, are you willing to? And I'm going to put you in the in this, between this bait and the wall. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to sit in a table with somebody who is has experience in this kind of the developing a process, yep, and an architect, and start formulating like a plan to find a way to break that red tape and bring investment or investors to do this kind of project?
I am, and we've at this point in time, what we've done is we've explored a couple of alternative models. And so from our end, what we need is just what you've spoken about. We need the design element, and we need the developer development, so that we can see how we can make this move forward. I mean, in Northumberland at the moment, a lot of the developers are limited in scope by the size of their operating line of credit, and so they can build X number of homes, and to maximize their return, they build X number of homes at a certain price and sell them, and then the money from that then goes back into it recirculates itself so that they can do that year over year. But the building of single family dwellings really limits any opportunities for attracting a larger segment of the population, because to start off in a price range between $750,000 and $1 million is not a start point. And having limited rental housing is a real deterrent to this, because and rental housing costs are as much as mortgage costs in many cases. So trying to find some alternative ways of both engaging developers and creating maybe a model that can maybe seek both provincial and federal support as part of a development plan is really what the economic development will focus on. We're in the midst of I think finally completing some of the final negotiations with respect to broadband, so that we're hoping for shovels in the ground by the late fall of this year. And once that's established, our next step is really how to frame an attainable housing strategy that's not just a document that sits on a shelf, but engages individuals to say, okay, here's how we can do it. So that's next. I mean, it's wonderful to attract newcomers here because of their skills and their workability, but we have to be able to offer them a home or an opportunity to establish themselves. And the thing is, regardless if we can offer them, you know, great educational opportunities in our public school system or access to healthcare or transportation alternatives, if they don't have a place to live, they're not going to come.
Totally. You know. And I know this is probably a thing for another time, and I know this is a very long conversation, but I particularly like the model that Toronto had in St. Jamestown, where there is a mix of different approaches, I would say, low income to high income and everything in between.
Well, that in essence is a community. That's how a town works out. You know, it isn't all, you know, let's not, you know, that it's not a, it's maybe not the proper word to use, but let's not ghettoize a situation, you know, it doesn't work that way. Like, I mean, what you're trying to do is build community, and that reflects all aspects of community.
Exactly. All right, Rosa.
Yes. Can you tell us, Adam, more a little bit also about jobs and employment? Is there some plan within industry, local industry, and entrepreneurs?
Yes, certainly. You know, we certainly work closely with the Northumberland Manufacturers Association, and they've been a real key element in trying to determine employer needs, and in doing so, supporting those employer needs through activities through organizations like the Community Training and Development Corporation, where they're willing to take the risk on providing training in such a way that potential employees can learn as they work, as opposed to devoting X amount of time first in a purely academic situation and then in the workplace. So that type of sort of cross training or integration is appealing to employers in particular, because it's an investment well made. So we through Emilio's efforts and the support of the county, one of our approaches to training is to be an active partner in skills development initiatives. And so in some cases, you know, the funding becomes only available to a municipality. And what we tend to try and do is then, as a municipality, partner with an organization who has the capacity to actually develop, you know, deliver the training. And so that leads to some very, very progressive partnerships. And I think that's how we're approaching it. We seem to be making some headway too on some industrial facilities that have been mothballed for quite some time, and now are getting interest, which unto itself we're finding the potential owners of those facilities, or the new owners of those facilities, and the type of industry they're bringing in tend to be far more flexible and amenable to trying to work collaboratively to introduce new Canadians into that workplace. So it's coming. It's all a little part. It's a collection of small parts trying to all come together for the greater good.
That's great. I would like to circle back to the Ukrainian nationals. Do you know any? Can you tell us a little? You have any? Numbers or anything about the Ukrainian nationals coming to the county?
I think at this juncture in time, some of our early information reflected that there would be approximately 60 individuals coming to Northumberland, sort of in the first wave, or about 15 families. Most of the families, most of that number of 60 included some children as well, mainly in I think in most cases quite young children, and so that's the first wave. What we're trying to do is encourage more to come, and the most recent employer event was really a way to try and make employers aware of some of the talent that's available to them. I think what we're going to probably see is probably an increased number of individuals headed our way. Once again, our real challenge is trying to find accommodation to house them in their initial period. Certainly, both the federal and in particular the provincial government have modified some policies which make it far easier for them to establish themselves under landed immigrant status, and also changes from a policy perspective with respect to community and social services to be able to access funding there that typically new Canadians had not previously been have access to. So there are some challenges that. We need to overcome. Depending upon how the situation evolves in the Ukraine, one wonders how many more Ukrainians will come, because in certain areas there really is so much devastation that there is nothing left to go back to, and so beginning a new life here may be a real opportunity. And also, if we have a collective number of Ukrainians who are willing to call Northumberland home, it also builds a community for them, and sort of a community of support, at least to start with, until their children become integrated. We'll continue to work towards that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So where can our audience find more information about Economic Development Department? And if you have, if you want to say anything else that is important, relevant to our conversation, and again, where can people or audience find you?
The easiest way to get in touch with us departmentally is through the Northumberland County website, which provides contact information, and certainly just in my own case, email is one of the easiest ways to get a hold of me, because from that we can sort of disseminate information. We're a pretty flat organization. Virtually all our managers manage themselves in terms of their staff, which is an indication that if you've contacted one of us, you've contacted the entire department in that portfolio. So, and if we and we do have an exceptionally high sort of customer service focus that ensures that, you know, if you need something, we can provide some, we can either facilitate some sort of discussion or bring the right people together or determine how we can help directly. So that's sort of our intention and what we value. Northumberlandcounty.ca is your best bet for trying to find out who and what we do.
That's wonderful, Dan. Well, as we normally said, this podcast has a website, and we normally place all the resources in the episode part of it, and mm-hmm. everything is going to be posted there for our listeners to find more information. Thank you so much. This was Dan Warowick, Director of Economic Development for the Northumberland County. Thank you again, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And anytime, if there's more to talk about, we'll talk. All right.
Oleg Fuchs said, "I once dedicated this song to my mother, and when the war broke out, the song took on a lot of new meanings. Although there is not a word about the war in the song, many people began to associate the song with Mother Ukraine. Moreover, society began to call it the anthem of a war." Both, if Stefania is now the anthem of a war, I would like to become the anthem of our victory, Oleg says. But if Stefania is now the anthem of our war, I would like it to become the anthem to our victory, Oleg said. The song Stefania is a tribute to Oleg's mother, which she only heard from the very first time when he saw her son's band complete in Ukraine Eurovision pre-selection process. Let's enjoy Stefania from the college orchestra.
Stefania, mamo, mamo, Stefania, розквітає поле, а вона сивіє. Заспівай мені, мамо, колискову, хочу ще почути твоє рідне слово.
Вона мене колесала, дала мені ритм, і напевне сило болі не забрати у мене, бо дала вона напевне знала, може більше і від сола вона ломаними. Я завжди до тебе, вона не розбудить, не будить. Мене в сині бурі забере бабулі, звідулі, ніби вони кулі. Дуже добре знала мене, не була обманута, як було дуже втомлена, гойдала мене так.
Northumberland Settlement Services help newcomers to adapt and integrate into the community, offering support related to business, employment, networking, women empowerment, youth, recreation, and culture. Contact us at settlementservices@northumberland.ca.
In other news,
2022 was a very interesting year in terms of the immigration perspective. Rosa is not with me today. She will be back in the next season. But for now, I can talk about a few immigration news that have been populating the media lately. First of all, I would like to talk to Canada just break record by welcoming over 437,000 new immigrants in 2022. So over that amount of new permanent residents were admitted to Canada last year. And this has been the highest number ever welcomed in one single year. So this was even higher than the target immigration had set for 131,649 new immigrants and marked an all-time record for Canadian permanent resident admission in one year. So the previous record was set on 2021 with 405,000 new immigrants. Today marks an important milestone for Canada, setting a new record for newcomers welcome in a single year, said Immigration Minister Sean Fraser. It is a testament to the strength and resilience of our country and its people. Newcomers play an essential role in filling labor shortages, bringing new perspectives and talent to our communities, and enriching our society as a whole. I'm excited to see what the future holds and look forward to another historic year in 2023 as we continue to welcome newcomers, said Fraser. So this is a great news from the healthcare perspective to the industry perspective and retail and food industry perspective. We know we need more physicians. That, by the way, the rules on accreditation for foreign trained physicians should be a little bit more down to earth. Right now, they have to go through so many hubs to in order to get the Canadian credentials, and we really need them. Just here in Northumberland, not even Northumberland, just in Trent Hills, that is a small municipality between Northumberland. We will need physicians to cover 7,000 people. That's because some of the physicians we had in the past have retired. So we need new physicians here. And we are in a rural area. We don't have much to offer if we compare with Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver. So we need these young families that would like to stay in our neighborhoods and enjoy the rural life. That is a quiet life, and they will help a lot. The same for frontline nurses. So yes, we have a band of nurses registering every year, but most of the nurses are going to other places, not to the front line where we need them, in hospitals, in ERs, in clinics, and so it is easy and valuable if we can get nurses right path and a fast track path to work in Canada. Same for PSWs, personal support workers. We are an aging community, so and if I go back to Trent Hills, well, the median age in our community is 46 years old. So that means in 10 to 15 years, most of the people is going to be retired. So we need
help in physicians. We need frontline nurses, and we need personal support workers, PSWs, to help with the aging community. Then we need also retail and food support workers. How many times have you been in a Tim Hortons, and it's close to the public? It's only they are only working in the drive-through window. Well, that is because they cannot find workers to work same in the drive-through and in the retail part of the building. So they have to choose to do one or the other because they have no employees. Everywhere you go, you see we are hiring signs. So yes, we definitely need more immigration. Immigration will help big time with this, and most of this is low skilled workers. So yes, we do have high skill request, but the main attraction right now is towards the low skill people who can manage a line of productions or a graphic printer in a factory or a packaging line. So all the kind of stuff that we don't have the people to do it right now. So here in Northumberland, we need to find a way to, and we are working on, to bring more low-skilled workers to help our industry. So there is some ideas. There are some planning that is happening right now. So I'm very happy that I can see that some motion toward small solution, but a small solution is what we need right now. Immigrants make up the largest share of the population in over 150 years and continue to shape who we are as a Canadian. So Canada has a long history of immigration. Millions of people from all over the world have chosen and continue to choose Canada as their new home. In 2021, more than 8.3 million people, or almost one quarter or 23% of the population, were or had ever been a landed immigrant or permanent resident in Canada. This was the largest portion since Confederation, topping the previous 1921 record of 22.3% and the highest among the G7 group. So this is a welcoming news, because it means the government, the federal government, is invest in helping Canada to become a largest community, a largest country with immigrants in their mind. So just to point it out. So one of the reasons we need immigrants is that, again, coming back to the population, Asian population, or we are getting older, is that we also need a base of younger people to pay for our retirement. So we are a big group right now that, you know, the baby boomers are ready to retire. Now the second wave is even greater. So we need somebody to take over and start building that pillow of retirement for this other wave, and so on. So that's, you know, by the minimal, this is what we need immigrants. Besides, obviously, the actual target that they will help our local economies, providing help in the industries in another, and retail and food companies or restaurants and bars, and you know, so this is a great news from the federal government. It says the provincial nominee program set to overtake express entry as a top Canadian immigration pathway.
So given that the population of Canada continue to age and fertility is below the population replacement level, but I was talking before, today immigration is a main driver of population growth. If these trends continue, based on Statistics Canada, recent population projection, immigrants could represent the 29.1% to 34% of the population of Canada by 2041. This is great news. This is a great projection. So about all this, what's for the future? So Canada set immigration target of 500,000 newcomers in 2025. So another milestone to come from Canada latest immigration levels plan, the 2023-2025, is a milestone target of 500,000 total permanent residence admission in 2025. So as part of the plan to continue to recover from poor immigration levels experienced during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, Canada's latest immigration levels plan, the 2023-2025, revealed that Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada, IRCC, aims to welcome 500,000 new permanent residents to this country in 2025. So I want to talk of what's going on here in Northumberland. Well, we know that we have received about between 60 and 80 individuals from Ukraine. They are right now living, working, studying, and being part of the community. And it has been a great addition to our community, but we need more. So I have here a chart from the Northumberland Manufacturer Association that this was in from August. So I'm sure right now is more or less the same amount and probably more, but we need about 200 people to fill it up some of these positions. So just in production, we need 132 people. We need 132 people by August. I'm sure there is more or less the same amount right now. And the wages that these companies are providing to their employees, they are in an average of $20 an hour. And this is way over the minimum wage. So it is great to see that, position in production, $20 an hour, administration, $21 an hour, material handler, $20 an hour. So we go to millwright is $30 an hour, an electrician, $31 an hour. We need managers, production managers, $38 an hour. Industrial mechanics, we're talking about $25 an hour. So, we really need people to work in this position, and they're going to be well paid if you compare with the average provincial and the average wage in those positions. So we need more people. We don't have the people local that will help us with this shortages of employees. So that's why we need more immigration. That's why we need more people. And from all those people that came last year, we didn't see in Northumberland a good amount of them. We saw about this 60 to 80 Ukrainian nationals and a few more from other countries. I had the pleasure to meet people from the UK and from Colombia, Mexico, and Ecuador. These are families that moved here recently, so they are already helping in those sectors. But we need more, and we need to create capacity to receive more people and to help more people come to the county and work in these industries. So
right now we are studying the possibilities to create a plan, a pilot plan that we could talk or bring to the table to the provincial and federal levels to help some newcomers and low-skilled newcomers to fill it up these gaps that we desperately need in the county. This is our last podcast of the season's series. We'll see you back in February to welcome our season two with interviews, music, immigration news, and information for our newcomers community. Until then, thank you for listening to Northumberland Settlement Podcast. In the name of Rosa and my own, thank you, thank you, thank you.
The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed in this podcast by the host, guests, listeners, and viewers solely belong to those who express them. They don't necessarily represent their employers, affiliate organizations, or other group or individual.
Thanks for listening to the Northumberland Settlement Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our interviews, stories, and music as much as we did. Subscribe to our podcast on iHeart, Spotify, Google, iPhone, and more to listen to other episodes. Don't forget to share this podcast with family and friends. Reach out to us with suggestions for future episodes at settlementservices@northumberland.com. Until the next one, be well.